Friends, I'm turning this morning to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13. And I'm reading verse 33. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, and verse 33. Another parable spake he unto them, "The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened." And this is really about how to taste spiritual power, because the Lord Jesus Christ describes the kingdom of God and how people enter into that. Almost the entire chapter 13 is full of parables, one after another. The Lord Jesus Christ teaching people this. He tells us why he told parables, so that it would take the earnest heart to really to know it and to seek his help and blessing. That itself is instructive, my dear friends. When it comes to spiritual things, the Lord blesses only those who are sincerely earnest, who sincerely long to know. So if people are very light-hearted and want to trifle with spiritual things, then obviously they would not know the blessing of the Lord. And the parables are a good example. The Lord told the parables, and sometimes they would be clear enough. Other times they would be it would be so difficult for them to understand. They would have to go to him, even his own disciples, to have any grasp of what he meant. Now this is the parable, and I hope to be able to pick out a number of lines which teach us about spiritual power, because that is what is intended, at least part of it. "Another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven." The kingdom of heaven. What is this kingdom? It is also called the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, is God's rule in hearts. God is the governor and the king of the entire universe. The world is his. He had made it for himself and he rules it. Now, in this kind of kingdom, the world as a whole, he has a mixture of people. Those who bow to him and those who reject him. In fact, he even has his enemies right in this world. So this isn't the special kingdom the Lord Jesus is referring to. He is referring to that kingdom in which the will of the Lord is done, in which God is loved and treasured. The Lord Jesus Christ is given a primary place, and that kingdom is only in the hearts of Christians, those who come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord washes away their sins and gives them a new heart, and he rules there by his power and presence. And so the kingdom of heaven in scripture refers to that special rule of God in hearts, where people willingly come to him and bow their hearts as it were to him and own him as their own God, and desire to walk with him. In the future, we know the Bible tells us this kingdom will be manifested in the whole world when the Lord has taken away and judged all those that rebelled against him. He will establish his kingdom in a new heaven and a new earth. And in that kingdom, his will be entirely done. But on earth now, the special kingdom has to do with hearts in which Christ rules as the sole Lord and Master. And this, as I said, it has to come by the grace of God. You see, that should be our concern, my dear friends, whether I'm a member of that kingdom, whether I am a stranger or a citizen of that kingdom. That should be our chief concern, each one of us. You know, at the end of the day, life's purpose, if you haven't discovered that, friends, life's purpose is finding this kingdom. And really finding that you are a part. At the end of the day, everything will be over. At the end of this life, everything will be forgotten. And nothing else will stand. That's how life is. Our lives can be quite sad. We spend our energies pursuing all manner of things. And we are so absorbed and zealous for them. And then we simply have to lay all of them by when life begins to wind down. And we have to face up to Almighty God. Friends, the greatest gain is to find yourself a member of this kingdom, to come and to taste what it is like to have the Lord Jesus Christ rule your heart so that you know Him personally. You don't just call upon His name or sing His songs, but He is your own Lord and your own Savior. And this, the rest of the parable helps us to appreciate even more. You may ask, how does a person become a member of this kingdom? And the parable helps us to touch on many aspects of it, and that's what I intend to do now. Now look at the parable, and the Lord, He is a master teacher. He weaves in so much beautiful things. As you would say, another parable, spake He unto them, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto leaven. This itself is striking. The kingdom is likened to a leaven. Now a leaven is simply yeast. As you know, a yeast that is mixed into a dough. In those days, they would mix it either corn dough or flour dough. They would mix yeast to it. And that's what the Lord Jesus is comparing it to. What is striking is that the Lord is talking about a kingdom. If you like a whole empire, and yet He says it's like leaven. A small, ordinary thing that is used in the household. And that's used by the women in the home. A kingdom. We want to compare kingdom with huge things, isn't it? Think of earthly kingdoms. And they always want to picture themselves as the mightiest. You remember the days when there was those tribal struggles. One tribe would try to have power over the other, between the Fantis and Ashantis, between the Nonumbas and the Agumbas and all this kind of thing. One tribe, each one wanted to establish itself as the biggest and the greatest and the strongest. Now, and they all wanted it on an outward form, so they could display, they could show it, that we are the biggest tribe or people. That was the concern in those days. But the Lord Jesus Christ strikes a surprise here. He speaks about a kingdom, and He compares it to a leaven, an ordinary thing in the house. Why does the Lord do that? Because, friends, it is to encourage us. You know, if you are thinking of a kingdom, you are thinking like, but if this is a huge thing, how can I be a part of it? I'm a small person. I'm just a little somebody here. How can I be a part? If we were taken to one of these huge palaces, we'll feel ourselves so small. We'll be crying for help to be able to know where to go and where not to go and things like that. We'll feel so small in ourselves. Oh, but what an encouragement and the kindness of the Lord. It is the greatest of all kingdoms for sure. The kingdom of Christ is the greatest of all. You remember in Daniel, there was a picture of this kingdom, really stretching itself throughout the whole world and conquering every other kingdom. It is the most powerful. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ, to encourage us, says, it is like leaven, an ordinary thing. You don't really have to search around and really roam up and down before you find it. To become a member of Christ's kingdom, friends, by the mercy of the Lord, it's easy. It isn't that difficult. You don't have to go to school and learn so many things before you become a member. You don't have to know the whole Bible before you become a Christian. You don't have to go to some kind of seminary before you become a member of Christ's kingdom. No, and it's like leaven. Because it is, if you will simply watch carefully and think carefully, and when you hear about it and listen to it carefully, you begin to see that I can also enter. I can also become a member. Friend, this is the design of God. Anyone who would hear about this kingdom and listen to it carefully can naturally feel, oh, I can enter also. I can also become a member. And you would soon realize that if you did not enter, the problem wouldn't have been the message or the kingdom. The problem would have been me. I am the cause of why I could not enter. It seems so easy to enter, but for some reason, I didn't want to enter. That's what it looks like to you.
And so the Lord Jesus Christ helps us so mightily in calling it a leaven and a common thing in those days. I don't know how whether our mothers today have yeast in their houses every time, because we buy our bread from the market, isn't it? We don't bake our bread at home. But in those days of our Lord, every household will have leaven there. And so that it was so common. And so it is. If you just would look and listen and listen, this is the message of how to enter into the kingdom. I am a sinner. I am cut off from God. I cannot do anything for God to be pleased with me. I cannot do anything for God to approve me. But He Himself has made a way. He sent His own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come to do what I could not do. The law I have broken, He obeyed it perfectly. The punishment that should come upon me because I've broken the law, He had borne it on the cross of Calvary. And He simply says, put your trust therefore in me. Is that difficult, I ask you? It's not. It's not difficult at all. Somebody's paid the bills. And he says simply, append your signature, as it were. Come and say, I put my trust. I'm not saying go and write I'm aware there are tracts around that tells you that, oh, pray this prayer and sign below it the name of Christ. I'm not referring to that, please. But I'm referring to, as it were, coming to the Lord and putting your trust in Him and yielding your heart to Him, because you recognize Him to be the one who has done what you could not do. The Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, this kingdom matter, the Lord has made it so simple and so easy. If it will come, what is the difficulties that come in the way? Why then are not many persons Christians? Why? The Bible tells us the reason. Friends, and it's helpful because you see, even here, you can see your own case to be the same. And if you would just listen to the Lord, it will be of help to you. Why then? If it is simply coming to put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, why then aren't many persons Christians? Why then aren't many people coming? Friends, because we have a big problem in our hearts. The Bible says we are too proud. We wish we can do things ourselves. We wish we'll be the ones to accomplish things and feel proud and say, I did that, and I did that, and so God received me. I accomplished that, and I accomplished that, and so God wrote my name in the kingdom. And then we would have to share the glory with God. Oh yes, God did. You know the phrase people use nowadays? I did my best and God did the rest. Have you heard that? People say that a lot. Well, don't bring it to salvation matters. It doesn't work that way at all, because we contribute nothing. We only come as needy sinners, begging for mercy, trusting only in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have no rest to do. We have no best we can do. Or we come only as needy sinners and to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, friends, this isn't a difficult case at all. And also, if there's any difficulty, often it is because we so want to cling to our sins. I love my sins. I do not want to repent. I do not want to feel ashamed for what I've done. That for which the Savior went to the cross. That sin for which He had to die. I feel no shame. I still hold on to it. And I love it still. Oh, how would you find mercy then if you would in turn and call upon Him? But I always want to encourage friends, because the Bible says so. Do you know, when it comes to dealing with your sins, the Lord is not saying, you go and find a way to stop your sins and come to me. If we can stop our sins, we wouldn't need Him. The Lord says, bring it to me. Come, be sincere, lay it open at my feet and ask for my help. Ask if you are truly burdened, if you truly want to be saved and set free. I do the work. I'm not asking you to do it and come. That would be impossible. He's saying come with a sin, come with a condition, come with a need. But trust Him alone. Put your confidence in Him alone. That's what the Lord does, friends. And the parable helps us further. Look at this.
another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal. This woman took this yeast and put in 3 measures of something like almost 22 liters. If you think of a small paint containers, not the bucket, the big bucket, but something around, it's around 5 liters, that kind. So think that you have something like a condo that full of flour dough in it, and this woman took the yeast and hid it. It's important, the Bible says that she hid it in the dough. She knew where to put it. She did not simply sprinkle it over it. She knows it wouldn't work. She hid it in the dough. And then the thing worked. And so this woman knew exactly how to apply the yeast in order to be able to have the effect she wanted. Friends, the same thing. Do you know, one of the things that the Lord Jesus Christ warns is that when you hear about the message of salvation, hide it in your heart. Hide it. Otherwise Satan will come and steal it. He tells us that in one of the parables. Whenever you go to, sadly I'm aware, we may go to churches and they may not tell you anything about how to know God personally. The pastor takes it upon himself to be able to do things for you, to be the power to do things for you. It's very foolish. No pastor has any right to assume any such a place. God never grants such a place to anyone. He wants his servants to point people to him and to tell them they can know God for themselves and relate to him and to prove his power themselves. But anyway, if you go to any place and you hear about the Lord Jesus Christ and how you may receive forgiveness of sins, the Lord Jesus warns us in one of the parables he told that Satan doesn't like that. That's what he doesn't want you to listen. And so the very moment you hear that, he will find a way to come and snatch it away. He will come and bring in other distracting thoughts. The very time you got out of that building, and now then different thoughts came up, and ideas flowed into your mind, and all kinds of things came around you, and you forgot everything, so that you will not be benefited. Friends, this is the fundamental thing. You will never benefit from the gospel, the message of God's salvation, if you will not hide it in your heart. In other words, if you will not think about it. If you will not say, let me sit down and think about this message. My son, God, whom I owe, whom I should one day give an answer. This life, so short, so brief, and uncertain. What am I doing? Why am I living as I do? And if you be very kind to yourself, sometimes think of perhaps something you are doing that is hindering you from coming to the Lord. Maybe a sin or a belief that is wrong. And ask yourself, am I keeping on with this? Where do I want to go with this? Where will it end me one day? What do I want to gain out of this life I've chosen to live? Please think. The Lord says it in that parable. Some of you may know, we call that the parable of the sower. He said that the sower went to sow his seed, and the picture was that while he had sowed it, the birds came and they were able to peck away those seeds that fell on the roadside. They could peck it away because it fell on the roadside. If it had gotten into the fields and some earth had gotten over them, they wouldn't have been able to pick it. But when it fell on the roadside. And so it says, it refers to somebody who hears about how he may know God and he simply turns away the thought. Oh friends, years ago, a pastor was telling a story of a man he was speaking to about the Lord Jesus Christ. And friends, I, as a preacher, I've seen that a number of times also. And there are many Christians who have spoken to people about their souls may testify to similar things. It's quite sad, but it happens. Now, this pastor was speaking to this man. He was speaking to him about his need of forgiveness of sins and for him to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, so the Lord changes him, washes away his sins, and renews, puts a new nature in him. And this pastor was saying, as he was speaking to this man, he could see that this man was quite absorbed in what he was saying. As this man was listening so keenly and closely, he listened and listened and listened. And then suddenly, I see this man had then come to himself. He suddenly jerked backwards and said, "No, stop saying such things. No, stop it. I don't want to listen anymore. You do not know the kind of things I mean. You do not know what it will cost me if I listen to what you are saying. You do not know the kind of the connections that is literally sustaining my life. If I stop them and listen to what you are telling me, you know the kind of things I will lose. And they kind of don't tell me anything anymore." And the man went away. He will not listen. It's always sad. There was a time some Jehovah's Witnesses came to my house. Now, I didn't know who I told them. They came and said, somebody said I was interested in their studies. And so they wanted to come and have studies with me. And I said, "Oh, okay. I don't think I've told anybody I want any studies with Jehovah's Witnesses. But if you've come, you are welcome. Sit down." And so they sat down. You know, Jehovah's Witnesses, when they come to you the first time, they'll be talking about all the general things. General things you are likely to agree. And so after the first, I think the first and second day, they came once a week, they came on Saturdays. The second time I told them, you know, the real problem between us and you is the issue about the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is God. And so if you want, let's go straight to that in that discussion. So they said, "Okay, let everybody prepare and come the next week." Okay, so the next week they came. But this is why I'm telling you this. When they came, there were three of them, and they were preachers in their local places. And we started a discussion on Trinity. And as I started explaining the matter of Trinity, I saw one of them so absorbed. He was looking at me so keenly, as if entirely mesmerized, almost entirely overtaken. And then, I don't know whether the other one saw it, he came in with a general comment and said, "Oh, as for this, we all know. And then the man also came out as if he was coming from under the water. And then he breathed deeply. And then they left. Why? Now I'm telling you this because people can do that. You seem to be so absorbed. This is true. This is about me. I'm living this way. I am the one who needs the Savior. I am the one who must repent." And then suddenly Satan comes in and different thoughts overwhelm you and forget everything. That's a big danger. This woman hid it in the door. She kept it right in the place. Unless you are willing to think and reflect and take it seriously, resist any thoughts that removes it from you. If you go home, read through the Gospels and see whether you wouldn't realize that God in His mercy has put this message right at the surface of the Bible. My sinfulness, your sinfulness, the fact that you can never do anything to earn His favor. God has put it there so clearly. Now don't let anything steal that away from you. You cannot know God unless He's washed away your sins. You cannot relate to Him unless the Lord Jesus Christ has washed you and given you a new nature. You cannot call yourself a Christian unless the Lord Jesus Christ has so blessed you, washed away your sins, and changed you. That is what makes a person a Christian. Not how many times he goes to church, or the kind of post he holds in the church, and things like that. It's never like that, my dear friends. And so, think, friends, can I encourage you? In fact, it was a counsel they were giving to many people years ago. Preachers sometimes put it this way. They said that for most people, if they would just spend about 20 minutes every day thinking about their souls, it will not take long and they will be converted. And friends, it's true. And Satan will make sure you don't do that. You don't have time to think. Nothing is very sad, friends. Nothing is very sad when, as to preachers, to see people. You know, we have seen this many times. To see people that come to church. Maybe they started coming when they were in their late 30s. And they were, when they came to church, they would listen and listen. They never sought the Lord. They never sought His forgiveness. And then life changed. They became very busy in life. Work, work, work. The strange thing is this. And this is the part that makes it even sadder. Because they had to work. You can't tell them not to work. They need that work to keep the family running. They need that money to keep the home going. You can't tell them to stop work. But sadly, now there's a side effect. They work and work and work. And then when they come to church, they fall asleep. They can't hear a word. They hear, this is the very message they need. But they don't have the ears to listen now. Oh, when you see such persons, you only pray for God's mercy. How has Satan triumphed? They sit right under the message of life. And yet they are dying. How sad. How sad. Friend, don't let that happen. Don't let that happen. Don't let the devil steal the message. If he will steal anything at all from you, not this message. That God is able to wash away your sins and to change you. Because the Lord Jesus Christ has come and paid the penalty for that. And so you go to Him personally. You don't sign a paper. You don't pray any kind of prayer. You go to Him personally. Tell Him what you've done. Tell Him your heart. Hide nothing. Repent. Feel shame over what you've done. And then ask Him to have mercy upon you. Remember that mercy had to be bought. That mercy could not be ours. Just like that. The mercy to wash away our sins has to be bought. And the Lord Jesus has bought that, as it were, with His own blood when He died on the cross of Calvary. And so as you go to ask for mercy, put your trust only in Him. He died so that I may be forgiven. I may be changed. Let that be your only hope. And let that be your only confidence. Friends, what this woman did also show us what faith is like. When we say we put our trust in the Lord Jesus, what this woman did, show us what faith is like. Listen, just listen to this. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven or yeast, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal. Just ponder a little. Here is the woman. Here is, as I said, a paint, this paint rubber, the small bucket full of dough. And she has a handful of yeast. In those days, actually, it wasn't a separate thing like ours. In the Lord's day, the yeast was only a little portion of leavened bread or dough of the previous time. In other words, if you have corn dough, whatever, that has become already leavened, you only put a portion of that aside. You don't eat all of it. And they use the rest. The small, the remainder, is what you will put in the next dough. It's every time you're actually transferring it. That's how they got their yeast. They didn't have it as a separate entity in their homes. It was part of their dough already. But the point is this. This woman has this paint full of dough, corn or flour. And she holds a small bit. Now, how sure could she be that it can work in the entire thing? She's watched her mother, grandmother. She's seen that from the generations. She doesn't have the scientific explanation. She doesn't need that. She'd only seen it. And she simply acts it out. This is a small dough. This is a huge lump. I simply put it into it. And I'm expecting it the next day to have become all leavened, all fermented. And then my work is done. Faith, friends, in the Lord is like that. You know, because I come to the Lord and I recognize it is this kingdom I want. I want to become a child of God. And you think, if only I can do so many things.
and be able to earn it, then I can feel good. But no, God says, no, no, you can't. Only the simple thing, put your trust in Christ. It seems a simple thing. Just faith in Christ. Yes, if it is true. Just trust Him. Yes, if it is true. That's enough to let God bless you and to come to you. As I said, that faith in Him comes because you recognize that even though my sins are so great, yet the Savior is able to wash them away. Even though this dough is so big, this fermented piece can easily work through it. And you apply it to, do you see? It wouldn't have been enough if this woman stood there and debated or argued and said, do you see this little dough? I am confident if I put it in this big one, it will ferment. She would still be holding it in her hand. She wouldn't put it in the dough. Nothing would have happened. Faith means that you don't simply say, oh, I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for needy sinners. You don't simply say, oh, the Bible teaches that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. They are true. But once you say that, you actually go to Him. If you don't go, you may know all that in your head. They won't do you any good. So this woman, though she knew, so she went ahead and applied it. Otherwise, she wouldn't have seen the effect she wanted. Faith is a very interesting thing. Nowadays, people are getting more confused about what it is. Faith is simply putting all your hopes upon what God has said. Faith cannot work unless there's promise. Unless there's a clear promise of God. And here is the promise. The sinner that repents and puts his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ will have his sins forgiven and a new nature given him. It's a promise of the Lord. And I go to God in that sense. So that is what faith is like. Friends, I want to stress this part. Faith is not just the head knowledge of it. It's important. If you don't know, you cannot believe. And so the head knowledge is important, but it is not all faith. I can know so much in my head and even seem to feel about it. But if it doesn't drive me to act upon it, it is no faith. It is mere mental assent to what I have heard. I remember years ago reading a story of a man who walks over rivers. You know, those people, he would walk on a rope. You may have seen them in some of these games. So he will put a rope across a river and then balance himself and walk over there. And there will be people at both sides of the river. They'll be cheering him up, clapping. And I think he got his own assistant or something like that and put him at his back. And so balanced himself and went over the river. And everybody was cheering him up. And this man came back and looked at one of the persons that was cheering. He asked them, are you sure I'm able to take anybody else? They said, yes, yes, we believe. We've seen it, you've done it. And he told one of them, then come. He said, please. Then no, not me. Well, friends, you can even feel strongly about things and not really believe them. Or faith. People don't know that faith is a powerful thing. If you believe, you would want to prove it. You want to rest your hopes upon that. If you believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, you will go to Him with your sin. You will go and say, I am a sinner also. I also come. I've seen you wash away the sins of others. I read you in the scriptures, forgiven sins. I also come personally. I read that you are the Lord of heaven and earth. I come to you also to rule over my heart. And so faith is a powerful thing. It brings us to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it is. So this woman really did that. And friends, I come to my last point. So we begin to close. Look at verse 33, the passage again. Another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven or yeast, which a woman took. I'm hidden 3 measures of meal, or about 22 liters, till the whole was leavened. How does yeast work? How does it work in the dough? And here you have one of the most perfect pictures of spiritual power. Now, God is able to manifest His power in many ways because He's the Lord of the universe. He's able to do anything. But when it comes to that power that changes hearts, it always follows the example of a yeast, of a leaven. Once it's inside the dough, noiseless, almost no motion, it works its way gently into the various parts of the entire dough. What you see is that this dough is rising, and it's rising. Something is influencing it. Something is in charge of it now. It's becoming bigger and bigger. Or you taste it and realize the taste is changing. I can taste something of fermentation in this dough. Well, you didn't hear any noise. You didn't hear any knockover effect. Nothing like that. When it comes to that power of God that transforms lives, please mark how we are putting it. The power of God that transforms life. It doesn't push people down. You don't have to wriggle on the ground. You don't need a preacher to put his hand on your forehead and you go backwards and fall and begin to scream and things like that. When you see people doing this kind of thing, you say, these people do not know how the power of the Lord really works. When the Lord will change lives, if the Lord wants to move a mountain, He can do it with noise. If you want to scare some people away, like some of the enemies of Israel, He can let there be the roaring of the clouds in heaven to put them to flight. But when He is changing lives, routinely, it's always noiseless. You wouldn't hear anything. There'll be nothing. All you realize is this person is gripped by what he heard. Like the yeast, right in the middle of the dough. This person is gripped by the Bible. What the Bible teaches grips his heart. He can't go away. He can't ignore it. He can't shut his mind. What the Bible says tests his conscience. And he says, I believe it. I want to test it. I want the Savior to be my own Savior. I want Him to rule over my life. And they, perhaps in the quietness of their room, they go to Him and cry to Him and ask for forgiveness of sins and ask Him to change their lives. And then again, noiselessly, they begin to realize the things they once loved are gone. New principle is put into them. New interests has been put into their hearts. Now they love the Lord. They want to please Him. They've been given the capacity for prayer. When they go and pray, it is not merely like carrying out a ritual. They are involved. They are engaged with their Father. And they pray meaningfully. They don't have to be walking up and clapping their hands as if they're dealing with a human being, a petty God somewhere. They go reverently. And yet their prayers are so meaningful. And genuine, they can open their hearts to God and they taste answers to prayer. Their prayers are answered. God hears them and He brings help and support and provision according to His will and blessing. Oh, friends, the very start of all taste of spiritual power is a conversion. And once you begin to taste it, the joyful thing is that it will never end. Throughout your whole life, when you become a Christian, as you keep reading and studying the Bible, as you keep praying and walking with God, you will taste all the more the power of God at work in your heart, changing you, deepening you, bringing you nearer to the Lord, making you love Him more and more. Friend, this is real spiritual power, friends. And you test it when you yourself come to the Savior. Oh, dear friends, can I encourage you? Would you come, my dear friends, if any one of us here this morning isn't a member of this kingdom, you've never tasted the power of God
work in your heart to bring you to feel your shame of what you've done and to see your need that the Lord Jesus Christ is the one I need. Yes, I have problems in life, but strangely, all those problems are dwarfed. They become so insignificant. And now what you want is the Lord to wash away your sins and to change you. Now those problems, you will have grace to tell them and to seek His help. But amazingly, they are not your number one concerns. Your number one concern is how I may become a child of God and a member of that kingdom. That is how the power of God works. And once you come and yield your heart to Him, He works so powerfully to change you and put a new principle in you. You have faith indeed. You can draw pleasure and comfort from God and from His Word. These things, you don't know them until you are converted. Friends, would you seek Him now? Would you let Satan steal away the Word so you wouldn't think about it? So you wouldn't seek the Lord now? Are you uncomfortable? Do you feel uncomfortable because there's a particular sin? I still want to keep it going. As I simply want to forget it, forget the entire thing. Don't do it, friends, because that will cost you too much. Come to Him now and ask for mercy and forgiveness of sins. Do that today. If you delay, it may be Satan will be successful and steal away what you had. Act urgently. Act now. Go to the Savior. Tell Him your state and put your trust in Him alone. Let's pray together. Our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, we praise Thee for the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, and His dying love for needy sinners. Oh Lord, we praise Thee for such a solution to our problem of sin, which makes us think that we need so many things, when in fact it is Thee we need most. Oh, speak to our hearts, Father, that we'll be so desirous this morning to be members of Thy kingdom, the kingdom of Christ, to be ruled by Him, to have our hearts cleansed by Him, and a new nature put in us, that miracle of all miracles. Oh, that we tasted this morning, that henceforth we would know what it is to see Thy power at work in our hearts, each one of us. Oh, bless us, Father, for we ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, and for His sake. Amen.
Amen.
Friends, let's close our worship singing together from hymn number 403. Hymn number 403.